I just got a text from Tim Pachote. He said that Dan Dix is demonetized completely and done.
Yep. Well, done making money from YouTube anyway.
Yeah, did you know? How did you know this? Where did it come from? I didn't know about it.
It's all over all the news, and everyone's making videos about it.
Really?
I mean, Dan just made a video about it, for one.
Okay, we'll talk about that real quick. All right, I have on here, I got the stream going. I got it, baby. Okay, we got no U.S. banks or not terrified Chinese payment apps. Are you prepared to talk about that one?
Sure.
Okay, 20,000 Corbett report truth bombs. I don't know what that's about. What's that?
You should really watch that.
Oh,
one.
Okay, 20,000 blank DVDs laying around in the urge for them. Oh, okay, cool. All right, I'm on it. We'll talk about that. Definitely. You know, yeah. I did get some. Well, of course, Keith, anarchist. What's his guy? He goes, yeah, you definitely need to include my interviews with James Corbett. So, you know. Yeah, Bilderberg what? 2019, if we got anything on that. I don't really care about that. Screw them. Let's see. Where was the one on, God, it was eugenics or something about energy something. What was that?
Oh, the post-carbon energy eugenics folks or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start off with that because I don't have that listed here. And then we'll get into all this stuff. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare, your independence of here in Sandcock, your King 709A, from the BEAU Thiefel Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, James Corbett in the evening. Here we're going live. It is June 5th, 2019. Saying hello in the evening. Well, it's mid-afternoon there, so I'm sure he appreciates that. All right, let's go ahead and go. James Corbett. TheCorbettReport.com, independent, listener-supported, alternative news source. Now, we can go on and on and on. I'm telling you, James Corbett, the man, and there's so much stuff that I'm glad that we get to get updated on with him on his site. I encourage you to go to TheCorbettReport.com. We go there every day. Any and everything that he ever does, boom, it goes up on Freedom's Phoenix. FreedomsPhoenix.com. There we go. Now, there was a story. We have a lot of his recent stuff up here I want to talk about. But one of them, there was, we just talked about it, the eugenics of what?
I forget what the title is. Post-carbon energy eugenics?
Yeah, I'm like, what? I haven't watched that one yet. I got it up here, and I'm going, now just the title got me. I'm like, what the heck is that about?
Good.
Right. So tell me, man. Let's do it.
Mission accomplished. Well, you've seen How Big Oil Conquered the World, right, Bernie?
Yes.
And you've seen why Big Oil conquered the world, right? And so having watched those documentaries, it's 3.5 hours, complete data dump of information, incredible amount of information to go through. And I hope after watching it, you think to yourself, how the hell did he condense that 10 years of research down into 3.5 hours? Well, this is my attempt at 1 hour, basically condensing it even further. Basically, I was on a Swapcast with Ricky Verandas of Ripple Effect and Jeffrey Wilson and Pat Miletich of Conspiracy Farm. we got together for a conversation. Basically, they wanted to discuss climate change and eugenics and how that ties in. And so, of course, I also tied it into technocracy because that's the future of all this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know the story. It's a big, long historical thread, but it ties very carefully together from the eugenicists of the late 19th century to the climate change movement of the late 20th century to the technocracy movement coming up from the 21st century.
And did you cover it all? We're learnified?
You can never cover it all, but we got some good stuff in there. And I think the big point for me was trying to come up with a title that would be intriguing to people that wouldn't make them go, oh, you know, climate change denier or whatever kind of knee-jerk response, to at least get people intrigued enough to watch it. Because I am convinced, I've heard this feedback from a lot of people. You know, when I first started, the first thing I saw was your Big Oil documentary. And then you were talking about climate change as if it was a hoax or something. And I thought, what's this guy talking about? But when I saw all the information, it started to change my mind. I've heard that from a lot of people. And I'm convinced once people start to know the deeper background of this, they can see this from a different angle. But they have to get through those mental barriers that are in place.
You know, one thing, I don't know if you've ever done this. It was the BBC did a thing on climate change. Have you ever seen that? And they banned it and freaked out. And BBC, this is years ago.
Are you thinking of the Great Global Warming Swindle? I'm not sure that was BBC, but that was British something or other.
Yeah, I think it was a BBC thing, but it was, yeah. Well, what, that's not BBC, Channel 4 and BBC?
They're different.
No, they're different. Okay, so they did this thing, and I thought it was, this is early on. They were calling BS on the whole thing early on. They went, oh, hell no, you're so not allowed. You know, this is, it's been this kind of banning and, you know, groupthink of, depends which group, and it's their group, and they don't want, you know, I just got a text. I didn't know this. I haven't been on the net all afternoon out trimming trees. And I'm sure you've heard, but if not, Dan Dix and Ford Fisher, along with a ton of others, have been completely demonetized. Dan Dix from Truth Media, Press for Truth, can no longer make money on YouTube. And I'm going, yep. We Are Change and Wham appeared to have escaped for now, you know, World Alternative Media. But this is, they're going after, so what happened? I this is the first I've heard of it just moments before we went on. What happened?
So I think the trending hashtag is VoxAdpocalypse. And apparently, at least the way they're framing this, is this is due to some drama that was taking place between Steven Crowder? I don't know. I'm not even convinced I know that that's his name. Louder with Crowder, whatever, has this popular YouTube channel, conservative kind of right-wing stuff.
He's always on Fox or something, isn't he?
I think it got picked up or something. I don't know because I don't follow it, but I know that he's recently been beefing with someone from Vox.com. There's some, I don't know, some Latino who, I guess...
Oh, like, he said that he made him, he hurt his feels because he said something about him being something.
Because he's gay and whatever, he was making fun of that. So apparently, I guess this Vox guy was tweeting at Team YouTube to, you got to look into this guy's channel because he's insulting me, whatever. It caused a big kerfuffle. YouTube looked at it and said, well, he's not breaking any of our community guidelines. Just because he's on our platform doesn't mean we agree with him, blah, blah, blah. There was still some big backlash and outcry about it from the crybullies. So YouTube went, well, now that we've looked at it a little bit further, we found that he's selling a t-shirt that apparently says socialism is for fags, was apparently the t-shirt. And so that obviously violates their policies or whatever. And so now they're demonetizing him, whatever is happening with Steven Crowder. So this is apparently the start of it. But now, just in the past few hours, YouTube has released a new blog post about how we're cracking down on hate speech in a more broad and manner, and a bunch of channels are going to get demonetized. And Dan Dix is one of them, and apparently there's hundreds of people up on Twitter right now freaking out about it.
You know, this is, earlier when we were doing we do the show early in the morning here, I mean, you know, 6 a.m., so
sorry,
we miss a
hold
lot
on,
of stuff.
Hold on, I should just say, before I go on, Dan Dix has nothing to do with Steven Crowder, what's going on there, and attacking gays, or anything like that. Nothing whatsoever to do with this. I just to put that out there, in case anyone got the false...
Yeah, but he was at Bilderberg! Damn it, that's enough right there. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because everyone's tying this back to the Steven Crowder Vox thing, but this is literally the day after Bilderberg winds up.
Yeah. And, well, I'm sitting here looking at this stuff. I'm going, okay, I get it. You know, one thing I want to show the audience this. I'll tell you what I'm showing them here. These are the show. We had Lynn Ulbricht on today. Robert Anthony Peters that did a movie Tank Man, you know, on the Tiananmen Square Tank Man. It's like a 15-minute. It's awesome. I watched it. You know, that's cool. And this is what we have up here. Firefox now blocks third-party trackers by default. So I go, cool. You know, they're not tracking. Oh, but Amazon's helping police build a surveillance network with their Ring doorbells. Okay? So I go, so, you know, the social media is certainly willing to turn us up to the man, you know? Then there was the China Central Bank. They got issues and problems. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And it's economics. It's the censorship. And now they want to bring China surveillance to here. And a lot of these social media and tech companies are working with or trying out whatever in China. Now it's made it to Australia. Australia's starting to ban a lot. It's like it's on, man. I just feel it. And then, you know, God forbid I go out and trim some trees and then a bunch more of our friends get demonetized and platformed. So I'm going, yeah, but we got James Corbett on IPFS, so we're good. No. So this is the beginning of something else. What do you think else it is, especially the days after Bilderberg?
Yeah. Charlie Skelton wrote for Newsweek about Bilderberg 2019, and he was pointing out that basically Bilderberg is kind of Silicon Valley's, you know, European arm at this point, because so many of the key figures there now
are the other way around. I mean, you know, same.
Or thing. Yeah, exactly. But he was pointing out, you know, is Eric Schmidt the new Kissinger,
right,
essentially.
I saw that. You know, and they had him and Kissinger up on stage being passing batons, yep, or something.
Yep. You know, so, Eric, I mean, Schmidt, this is, definitely... I mean, and clearly this is the way it's going. I mean, if you were a smart Bilderberger, of course, you would be absolutely making sure you have every tentacle and claw that you can into, well, I want to say into the surveillance state, the internet online wiretap, but they've had that since the beginning. I'm just in the middle of reading a very fascinating book right now, Surveillance Valley by Yasha Levine, talking about how the internet was never about freedom and spreading truth and whatever.
It was AOL CD, that's what it was about.
Yeah, it's always been about surveillance and control, and we shouldn't be surprised that this is where it's
did
right.
You guys get AOL CDs in the mail every other day in Canada?
No, the equivalent, the Canadian equivalent, yeah.
Which was what?
I think we had a local. I can't even remember what it was called, but that idea, yeah, like get on the internet for free.
Yeah, no, it was amazing, and they must have targeted me because I don't know why, but I got kids and everything, and we had so many of the AOL CDs, we started stringing them up like a mobile, you know, and I was like, holy crap. And then, of course, you find out they, you know, it might as well just be Langley. So they wanted you in on. And
you
then
mean the all-seeing eye in the pyramid isn't a good corporate logo? What?
You know, a lot of people don't know that it was called Total Information Awareness. You remember this program? They came up with a logo that we made. We made, you know, trash can flyers out of it, put it on doors. I mean, we were just real butt heads about it. We're watching you. We went through your trash, you know, that kind of thing. And the logo is in a circle. It has a pyramid, an all-seeing eye, looking down on the earth. And the pyramid was as big as the earth. And it was like total information awareness. And they were like, they were not hiding it. They were all proud of it. And I'm going, look, this is not fake. You know, this is their mentality. They got themselves a logo. Now, later they changed total information awareness to like it was like an A with a circle around. They kind of, you know, dressed up the logo.
They officially scrapped it, but it really did just go underground into the NSA.
Yeah, of course. We shouldn't do that. It's wrong. So people don't like it. Yeah. So we're going to stop.
Exactly. Yeah. There was people. Oh, people don't like this. People think this eye irradiating the planet isn't a nice, friendly image for what we're doing. And they were admitting at the time, absolutely every piece of data they could collect on absolutely everyone was going to be used to form individual profiles of all citizens. And, oh, you guys have a problem with that? Okay, we'll stop doing that.
You know what I'm doing here. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't have the screen for the showing somebody something, but the no sunspots. Now this is we had a story. It's going up later, and I'm going, wow, this is in like 95 or something. I had a woman on that was an astrophysicist from Harvard, and this is a month without sunspots. Okay, now this is last month, March, and it's just the sun is just dormant. Well, this is the modern minimum. This is, you know, climate change going to get cold, and that's what she was saying. She said, she goes, I don't know what they're talking about. The sun is going into a quiet period. It's going to start getting colder. So when here at Bank One Ballpark, I don't know what they call it now, but it was Suns Arena down here. And here comes Al Gore. This is like 11, 12, 13 around in there. And we had our workshop downtown. They were making signs. And they go, Ernie, what you want your sign to say? And I go, well, I'm not going, but you're going to make a sign. I just want to say what happens when it gets cold. Then, of course, soon after that, they changed it to climate change instead of the global warming. And here in Arizona today, I think it's the first day I've been here that we hit 100 degrees. And usually we had a whole month, already of 100. It's been cold. I just went swimming for the first time this afternoon after I was working outside. The water get warm enough. And then here in Arizona, man, I should have been swimming a month ago. I don't care what they
say.
Ernie,
weather isn't climate. You can't extrapolate from just a random weather event unless it's a big hurricane or something, and then it's definitely climate change.
My point is that when all this starts, you know, people have their own anecdotal, you know, evidence, or they've gone down. It's just not what they're saying. So I'm wondering, what are they going to say now? What's their excuse for global world?
They've already moved the goalpost.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, not only climate change, they did throw out and try, although it hasn't really caught on with the public, they did try climate weirding a few years ago as a new climate change. Essentially, that is their goalpost right now. Anything whatsoever that is not normal, and whatever they define as normal, is going to be proof.
Last week it snowed in Flagstaff here in Arizona. That was not normal.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's
weird.
So I made this point very specifically in a video called Climate Change is Unfalsifiable Woo-Woo Pseudoscience. Look that one up, because I make the point as quickly and effectively as I can that absolutely anything that happens anytime is proof of global warming. There is truly nothing that can disprove it at this point. And as we know, if you have a science where literally nothing disproves your thesis, it isn't science. That is pseudoscience. That is the definition of pseudoscience.
You know, I saw a TED Talk they had on seasteading. And look, we got this new mod. It's great and wonderful and great and great and great and great. And for me to get on TED Talk, I got to say, because rising sea levels and the seaboard's going to be underwater and seasteading. And I'm going, you know, don't pull us into, I'm whatever.
Who was giving the talk? Peter Thiel?
No. It was somebody else doing something. I don't think it had anything to do with seasteading, but they were wanting to build stuff on the ocean. And they go, you're doing it wrong. Now, if you said, you know, it's to save, you know, baby squirrels or something, or it's for global warming, you get funded. And, you know, that's one thing here. All the buildings at Arizona State University, where they're doing a lot, you know, you have a whole different doctorate program, a PhD of we're going through climate change, of we're going to whatever the hell, now has gone into smart city technology, which I guarantee is going to be sustainable development, agenda whatever the hell, climate change. It's all wrapped up into one thing so that I can get my matrix plug in the back of my head.
Yeah.
And a
that
PhD.
That was one of the points in the great global warming swindle that stuck with me at the time when I saw that 12, 13 years ago. I can't remember which scientist it was, but it was clearly an old professional scientist, you know, retired at this point, so he can say what he wants. But he was saying, yeah, these days, all you have to do is find a way to put climate change in your grant application and you'll get funding. So if you can't study squirrel populations or whatever, but if you're studying squirrel populations to look for climate change effects or whatever, then you get funding for it.
You know, you remember I was doing growing carbon nanotubes for my battery project, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I need to know. I need to find an electron microscope. I want to see what I'm making sure, whatever. So I call Arizona State University. I go, do you got anybody that's working on carbon, you know, nanotubes? This is like 4 or 5 years ago. You'd think there'd be somebody. And they're like, well, this one guy. Finally, I track him down, a professor, and I talk to him, and he goes, well, I got my grant to look at naturally occurring carbon nanotubes in plants in nature as a defense or being able to evolve something like climate change. And I'm like going, what? You carbon nanotube, climate, how the hell did you do? Hey, man, you just put the words in the program and the grant if I got money. You know, you ain't arguing with that. So I could see this is, I don't know what it, why or what they think they're getting from it. It's basically just support to keep saying it. And, you know, another scientist signs on so they can justify some government program. That's what's going on. So I'm, yeah. All right, let's go. Anything else you want to say on that? I got some other stuff I want to talk about.
Let's move on.
Okay. The U.S. banks are not terrified of Chinese payment apps. All right. Well, of course they are. But, you know, let's talk about that. I watched this one. I thought it was interesting. Tell us about that.
So Bloomberg recently had a piece where they're saying, hey, guys, look at what's going on in China, where there's essentially two payment apps, basically WeChat, but also Alipay. And these payment apps are basically taking over the Chinese economy. It's getting rarer and rarer to actually buy anything with any physical paper anymore. Everyone scans a QR code and it comes out of their WeChat.
Well, you're saying the Chinese, a lot of them don't even have bank accounts. They just use this.
They just use this. And they were making the point that this is scary for the banks if this model moves to the US or anywhere else, because bank fees are, you know, $43 billion a year or whatever. They're going to be losing out if people go to these feeless payment apps, right? But I think there's a much bigger picture as to what's going on here. First of all, even if that were the case, okay, yay, I guess we reduce bank fees. But still, that means if we take that model, the entire economy revolving around a couple of corporations, and who's behind these corporations anyway? So in that video, I go through Tencent, which owns WeChat, and Alibaba, which owns Alipay, and their ties to the Chinese Communist government and Goldman Sachs and other such things, as you would expect. So
yeah,
no,
the WeChat, that's a Chinese thing? I thought I've heard it used here.
It is available worldwide, but it is a Chinese app. Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, the thing is that, you know, you have here we're talking, oh, the banks, as if that was the government. Well, the government kind of, you know, they got a symbiotic fascist relationship with the government and the banks and whatever. But in China, you know, they are the
literally,
government.
Yeah, literally.
You know, your social score sucks, and therefore, you know, you don't get to use it and you can't buy.
Exactly. Any big corporation in China is going to have Chinese Communist Party ties. That's just the way that works. And I think that is a good model for what they want to accomplish in the U.S. and elsewhere, what they want to bring over here, which is payment apps that are completely connected into the system. And that's why you find at any level of this, like, for example, who's the co-founder of PayPal? Peter Thiel, of course. I mean, Bilderberger, literal
Bilderberger.
Well, he's
not still PayPal, is he?
I don't know. He was a co-founder. We'll put it that way. But anyway, but of course, all of these payment apps are going to have, you know, banksters and Bilderbergers out the wazoo in order to get the grants to play ball to be the next whatever. Why Facebook is developing its own crypto, supposedly. It's why Amazon will probably be jumping into this space at some point, because it's the next evolution of this.
Yeah,
this
blah, blah, blah. I just got more silver rounds from Roberts and Roberts today. Done. Next.
Now, here's the other creepy part that I played in that, because, of course, it's a weird balancing act that these outlets like Bloomberg and others have to play. China is the evil enemy, but also we kind of want their surveillance society. So they have to play that double tension. And so I point to another Bloomberg video where they're showing the creepy surveillance state that's coming in China, where they highlight the story of one guy. Yeah, I was jaywalking in Nanjing or wherever. And
$10, boom.
Exactly. Facial recognition camera spots him. Assumingly, I would assume it's artificial intelligence at this point. Notes, okay, this guy's jaywalking, facial recognition, and out of his WeChat app, which, keep in mind, isn't the government. You know, it's Tencent provides this WeChat app. But they take a whatever it was, $30 fine or whatever, instantaneously. He said within 20 seconds. This is what we're moving into.
We need some
this
money.
Is why. And so, of course, you know, Bloomberg saying, oh, the banksters are so afraid of this completely cashless society. No, no, no. This is exactly what they want. Yeah, they might lose out on some fees, but we will more than pay back that with our
Well, you know what they did also? China is now giving some kind of reward. You know, we need to, you know, incentivize proper behavior. You know, so let's talk about that a little bit. What's their proper behavior definition?
Well, I mean, quite obviously, anything that goes against the CCP itself. And I was hearing a story recently that I won't be able to tell in much detail because I don't remember the details. But it was some... Oh, you were telling me. Weren't you telling me about the some Chinese someone who was over in the States and posting something naughty to Facebook, you know, about the Chinese Communist Party, goes back to China and ends up with massive fines or whatever it was.
Yeah, which so, time? I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's clearly what's happening. And of course, yeah, then it's just a question of, well, what arbitrary rules did they put in place for what constitutes good behavior and bad behavior? I mean, that take that to the nth degree.
Well, this is already going to Australia. They're importing the technology and doing that. That's a great idea. Well, you know, here in America, you know, of course they're going to institute some kind of something. And what we're seeing now is private companies doing what the government wants. And they're screaming at you. Oh, yeah, Facebook is going to be there's a story about them being pressured to take down things globally. You know, this is not just country by country or jurisdiction. They're becoming a UN world citizen of behavior or something.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, shocking. You know, yeah. All right. So that's coming, you know, and let's go to the next one here. Let's make 20,000 Corbett report truth bombs. Okay. Now, you and I didn't know you did. I'm looking at them going, oh, yeah. Ernie Hancock of freedomsphoenix.com has 20,000 blank DVDs. Thomas Friedman's here. He's visiting. And I took him out there. I said, look what we got here. See these? Oh, guess what we're going to do with these? I already started getting emails from people. And they're wanting to go, oh, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. Oh, and this one where I interviewed James, you know. So what I would like is for people to send me publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. You send me an email of your favorite James Corbett. Now, this is one of the things. On a 5 gig, we can compress down probably 5 hours without losing a lot of quality. I mean, it's not going to be HD, but I mean, you know, losing a lot of quality, get some good YouTube type quality of whatever. And it'll have some other stuff in it too, but our whole thing for 2020, we're going to have us some fun. And we've done this in years past, and it's had great effect. Like, why is Arizona so Arizona? And I'm going, well, there's a reason. It's because people, it's just general public opinion that we keep injecting. And usually it's right in an election cycle. So when there's some controversy or we go to these forums and people that, you know, decision makers or influencers or whatever the hell. And a lot of times just by us doing this, it's going to freak them out. So have you been getting any response from people on this?
Oh, yeah. I suggest that you take a look at the comments to that post on my website, because there are now 78
comments. Yeah.
And every single one of them has like 6 or 7 suggestions for different videos. So
there you go.
Yeah, the problem is there are too many suggestions, far too many. One that I found intriguing and that I would put my vote in for is how to herd your tax cattle, which was the episode that I did where I'm speaking as if I'm speaking to the newly elected president. You know, here's how it really works, and here's how we control the population, which I think would be particularly apropos of the 2020 selection cycle and getting people to look at the real issues that matter, not the left-right phony political game, but how politics is used to control you. So that was episode 296 of the Corbett Report. I think it's probably like 40, 50 minutes, but it's particularly effective, how to herd your tax cattle. And then you could follow that up with the follow-up episode to that, how to free your tax cattle, which was a presentation I gave at the first Anarchapoco back in 2015.
Well, how to free your tax... Don't be leaving me hanging, man. How do you free your tax cattle?
Essentially, don't vote. You're not going to vote yourself to freedom.
But run!
I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it, but it's about an imaginary, you know, selection cycle where people choose to stay home. And what does the system do at that point? So so that gives you a flavor of it. Basically, we can subvert the game by not playing their rigged game, which seems pretty obvious. But I think that's probably the most important message you could possibly be putting in front of voters' faces in 2020.
Okay, what I've been doing here is on Freedom's Phoenix now. I just put up, it's going up here in a couple of seconds. It's proofing now, you know, on this Adpocalypse, you know, 5.6 or whatever it is, yeah. You know, because, I mean, I got to get me out of here. Damn, I looked away from my computer. I'm coming in. Yay, I get to talk to James. And as I'm coming in, I get down. I'm like, what the hell? Well, of course, James knows everything. All right. So this, how to escape the globalist system. Let's talk about that one.
Essentially, I'm sick of just hearing about the problems with the system, and especially when the solutions are obvious, doable, and abundant. Mm. And so I just, in this editorial for The Forecaster, I'm just going through some of the many, many ideas. And so I start by looking at Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad just recently talked about, well, we need to start an Asian trading currency backed by gold because we can't rely on
dollars. He's going to be saying that for about a week, and then he's not.
Well, but I make the point. Actually, I mean, that's kind of half of the globalist plan, because it's still a regional trading currency. What does he mean by that? Does he mean like a European Union euro kind of trading currency? Or does he mean like a trading currency, like reserve currency that the central banks would use? Either way, it's going to be some sort of centralized supranational thing that is going to erode any attempt at localized sovereignty. So I think that's a false solution. I mean, yeah, okay, gold backing, I get that. But, it's going to be a regional trading currency? What do you mean by that? And who's running that show? And then the other point I make is whatever real solution comes has to be decentralized, not some centralized supranational, don't worry, the big politicians will take care of it for you kind of solution. And I also make the point, the perfect is the enemy of the good. So people don't have to go 100% overnight completely off the globalist system as it exists and living on bugs and rainwater in the woods. I mean, it's this process, and you do what you can when you can, as you can, and you don't beat yourself up about it because you're doing what you have to do to start disentangling yourself from a system that was created before you were even born. Don't think you're going to topple it overnight. There was another point in there, but you'll have to read it to get it because I don't remember. But so the solutions that come from this, it has to be decentralized. It has to be peer-to-peer. So the solutions are peer-to-peer economy. The solutions are cryptocurrency and precious metals and other ways of getting off of complementary currencies, other ways of getting off of the national fiat currencies, do-it-yourself gardening, open source software, all of this stuff that people know, but you need to hear it again and again and again to know, yeah, I have to actually, because we have a part to play in this.
We're always giving
our power away to other people. Oh, someone will come and solve this for me, and then I'll just buy whatever they're selling. No, you have to take a part in this because your actions matter.
They called them Liberty Gardens, you know, during World War II, and you had little kids out, you know, collecting scrap for the war effort, and Rosie the Riveter doing whatever. And they had
back when you were a young buck.
No, it was before, but, you know, but I heard about it, you know, and then, of course, you know, you and I do research, but what happened was during World War II, they had food rations. You'd have, you know, stamps for, I don't know, wherever the hell they were rationing, and, you know, for the troops and, you know, war is the health of the state thing. And what happened, they were encouraging and expected people to grow gardens. Well, now you get a ticket if you got a tomato plant in your front planter. So this is, it's amazing. You have all kinds of different foliage, but God forbid if you eat it. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And if you drill down on each one of these, where did this come from in this city in Florida? Where did it, you know, who is the person that did this? Why did they, you know, and you go back, sustainable development, because they said, and it had some template that then this is the rules that you got and the building code of the HOA of your Yagata. And I'm going, it goes back to something. And I'm wondering, what do you think that something is? What are they trying to do? Make us dependent or not be able to be independent? There's some other greater plan here.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. And in fact, this goes back to that first thing we talked about, the post-carbon energy eugenics hoax conversation, where I specifically made the point that the vision of the future of these people who are running this agenda is we are going to be urban peasants, literally. We're going to be serfs, like medieval serfs, living off of scraps that are given down to us, bestowed on us by our masters. In this case, it's going to be energy credits, carbon credits, whatever it is, whatever form that takes. But you're going to be allotted a certain amount each month. And you're going to live in your enclosed city and you'll need special passes to, you know, to travel here and there, and you won't be able to travel into the countryside because the vast majority of the globe is going to be the property of the stewards, the United Nations or whatever body comes along to take its place that is going to steward over the planet for the good of everyone and green earth and blah, blah, blah. Translation, they are going to own the earth's resources and natural abundance. So in order to get us towards that, because that is a generational task, I'm sure, in order to get us towards that, they have to inculcate the idea that they control what we can do with the earth itself. I mean, even growing a garden. Yeah, no, sorry, you can't do that without our permission. You need a special form from the government. And of course, it'll, as always, it'll always be easy to do so at the beginning to get your form and permission. But just the idea that you have to go and get permission to do something that is the most natural thing in the universe is the start down the walk towards that road of total tyranny.
You know, I talking about tyranny, what I'm doing here is I'm searching, I'm looking for Dan Dick. I go, you know, Google, you know, I'll search there and I'll say, all right, Dan Dick's banned YouTube, which of course is Google. Then you go, and I remember, oh, what were they doing? You watched Luke Radowski and Dan Dick's following around Eric Schmidt, you blah, 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 but don't demonetize us. And then the next day or a couple days later, boom. You know, Henry Kissinger fits. Ooh,
this is the thing, and I'm not gonna. I don't want to put someone down, kick someone when they're down. But don't rely on the beast to feed you when you're going against the beast. I mean, it's clearly not a system that was ever designed in your favor. That's why I've never taken the Google blood money, and never will, and never relied on it, and always knew it was going to end up here. Obviously.
And you were the only one, other than, of course, myself, screaming about it. And for the past few years, we've been getting ready. We've been setting up everything and doing the IPFS thing and so on, which is
actually, it occurs to me, I've been talking about this pretty much since the corporate report started. I remember in 2008 or 2009, I was really on board with something called Veracity Video or something like that. Someone starting their own kind of YouTube alternative. And I'm like, we need this idea. And I was really promoting it. And of course it went under in 6 months or something because he couldn't afford the server.
You know, the one thing that I do is because of this very thing, you know, there's always, because what you're doing with Google is the unlimited freaking server farms. If we got everything and can do it and you can't, we don't care if we lose money because we're being funded by they, them, those to rule the planet anyway. And that is worth more to us to whatever, you know. So what happened is I didn't want to specify a particular thing, so we did this. We do the Pirates Without Borders, you go into communication, all this stuff up here, the tech that's going to free you. Letters of Captain Mark. By doing the letters, we have all these different letters that describe the definition of what standard that we need. I'm not saying pick this one, do this one, but it better freaking have these traits. It better be hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. It's got to be forever and always. You can't censor it, yada, yada, yada. And I if we don't do that, then I don't want to talk about it. Don't be telling me how decentralized it is, blah, 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 blah. If they can tell you to take it down and you will, then they will. And, you know, so here we go. So the decentralized, I'm setting the standard on this, but now all these guys that, you know, they understand, they go, yeah, I get it, but they just didn't have the resources or it was convenience or it was easy for them to just click the button on their camera and boom, it uploaded automatically, which is why they did it. They get you dependent. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It's so insidious. Everyone buys into it. I was just talking to Luke Radowski the other week. He had me on his show to talk about.
I saw it, yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, he says, oh, and let's direct people to, what's your YouTube channel? And I tell him, no, don't direct people to my YouTube channel. Direct them to corporatereport.com. That's where they can go to get my work. And he's like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And the funny thing is, in the show notes for that video on his channel, it's still directing to my YouTube channel.
I you know, well, we just spent time with Luke at Anarchazona. You know, we were up there and we did an interview and so on, and we were talking about this. And I know his audience knows. I know these guys know my spiel. I've done interviews with him. I talked to him. We've been at several festivals. We talked about him on the show, yada, yada, yada. Why do you think they keep doing it? It's like they're now he was doing him and Jason been doing four videos a day, just trying to keep up, just to maintain, you know, the monetization. They figure that they'll just do more content, and then they have backup channels on YouTube. So I'm wondering how that's working out. But you know, these guys that they go to Bilderberg and they do and say and got and you're done. And I is there a backup? Do they got something else they're doing, or they're just screwed?
I don't know. I think you would know better than I would.
I don't know yet.
It's strange to me. But hey, look, I'm not on a high horse. I'm on YouTube. So there you go. Until I take my channel off and say, you will not get me on your controlled platform anymore, then I'm part of the problem too.
Yeah, I mean, we have, like, this is streaming is on YouTube, Facebook, DLive, this, that, Twit, whatever. It's just because we set it up and, all right, fine. We're here to say, yeah, we're over there. But the thing that I don't look at the comments, I don't interface with it, I don't care how many people are on it, I just don't care because I don't trust it. I haven't trusted it since, God, early on, since it went Google, because we would have, we could see the traffic here, and I got double what it shows here, whatever they show on, like, they're lying. Screw them. You know, one thing.
Yeah, even Richard Grove, I've noticed he's doing premieres on YouTube. You can now premiere a video on YouTube and schedule it, and so everyone can be there in the live chat kind of thing.
He and I have had this conversation.
Why give your audience to YouTube? Why?
Well, because it's easy, convenient, you know? Well, I just clicked on IPFS for James Corbett. Here it is. Done. It's working pretty well. And we talked to some guys. It's called one, the number one, the letter M, five, .io, I think. 1M5.io, doing a decentralized whatever, and they're a bunch of stuff. And I said, look, you know, we're going to ForkFest and ParkFest. I don't want to use a calendar that has, you know, for different events, they're trying to be decentralized and so on. They want to go use Google Calendar. Ah, hell no. I go, no. Let's have an anarchist thing and make sure we tell Google where we're at when, you know. And I'm going, no. We can get a calendar, write on it, take a picture of it, put it online as a JPEG, and then add again and then take another picture. I mean, I don't care. How hard can this be? Then we have a calendar on FreeCycle. We can use that. Well, then they found one. They made the effort and they found a decentralized something that they were using. But, you know, it's something simple like that. So I talked to these guys from 1M5. I had them on a radio show recently. And I go, can you give me a decentralized calendar? Can you do that? I mean, do that. I mean, somebody give me something. Give me pirate communication of, you know, 100 characters if they can't see it. But, well, I've been hammering this for, God, it's been a while, years, and it's starting to come, James. I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of this stuff. They're coming to, I bitch enough, and they want to come there, and let me explain it to you. So I'm thinking that my only question is whether it'll be available for us to make effective use of before the election of 2020. And that's what this whole thing is geared up towards, left and right. They want to try and control. You think it's, you know, the left? Is it the Trump administration? Are they really both the same thing? Who do you think's really driving this horse?
Well, look, I mean, again, it's like the old mafia analogy. They're going to have turf wars, but they're not going to upset the game itself. And that's exactly this. As long as people are controlled and in the controlled paradigm, then, you know, okay, sometimes it'll go left, sometimes it'll go right, you know, and we'll do our dirty tricks to each other to try to win. But at least we have the game. And that's the essential part of it. They have control of the game. And, you know, hey, here's the positive thing of this. The fact that they are fighting back so hard right now shows we have had a substantial effect over the past decade and a half of relative freedom on these platforms. They have to crack down because it is making a difference. So we just have to apply that and get off of their control platforms. IPFS, here we come. Hey, and I just accessed IPFS and it's actually working for me now. So
yeah, good. No, it's getting fat. Derek's working on it. God, I told you. You know, we're working. God.
You know, I don't want to put up the link until I know this is working for me.
Well, it is working. Sometimes it takes 30 seconds. Yeah. Well, I found out I had the guys from, that's what I was going to say, 1M5. They're going, is it a problem? Is it the gateways? Is there a fundamental? They go, no, the more nodes that you have, the better. Well, once we were convinced of that, all we needed to do is just make more nodes. And I go, okay. So Bob Anderson from Tonopah out here, he's retired now, super geek over at Palo Verde Nuke, so the boy's got skills, and he and I have the same 3D printer. In fact, I got the exact same dual-head 3D printer as him because I knew he'd pimp it out, and I go, just tell me what you got, I'll just replicate what you did. So now I have the STL files for the pirate logos, you know, and different things. So he goes, I got a Raspberry Pi, and this is what we're going to do. He's making a pirate treasure chest that we're putting the Raspberry Pi in with the 4 terabyte hard drive. We got it sitting in, it'll be a box you buy and done, and we're shipping it out. Boom. And guess who's going to be on there? Mr. James Corbett, definitely. Definitely. So the more node, this will just keep going faster, and people are using it. And that's one thing that we encourage. Said, look, do more nodes, start accessing the IPF faster. So if you put the link up, it'll keep getting faster because people are caching it.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, it's working fast now. There it is. You know, yeah, people, boom, there it is. IPFS, interplanetary file sharing. It's like a decentralized nodes that they can't take it down. Now, the thing that is interesting about this, it's by file name, not location. So it's not an individual server. It's just out on the internet, and it goes and finds it and pieces it and done. Now, here at the top of today's show, you'll go in here and you'll see Corbett Report IPFS. Then you got all of James Corbett's videos, all of his audio files. We got Pirates Without Borders and Freedom's Phoenix. Boom. You guys want to get at it and done? Waiting on you now. So, you know, this is, you know, it's not like we didn't know this was happening. And with this technology, it's relatively new. But I'm going, we have to have something like this because who are they going to go after? Mr. James Corbett. I guarantee it. But you're not dependent on YouTube. So what are they going to do to you? Where's your servers? How are they, you in Thailand or something? I mean, where's your servers?
EuroVPS, which is based in, well, good question. I believe it's owned by Russians, interestingly.
You're probably better off.
I know the guy that I was interfacing with was Greek, but they have servers in Amsterdam. I think their support is in London or something. Anyway, their claim to fame is that they will support, you know, whatever's up there. They will fight whatever they have to do to keep it up there. I can't remember the other... it wasn't the Memory Hole blog, but it was something like that. A site like that is also on EuroVPS.
Wayback Machine or something, or you know, I remember this was years ago when this first started happening, or they were preparing for this. There's caves or something in the Netherlands, and they had a bunch of servers down in these caves. They're trying to, you know, make an idea that this is going to be there forever and always or something. So it hasn't been new that people are trying to, the immutability of data, you know, because a lot of times, you know, it's bank records or, you know, whatever the hell it is that they want to have, the mob books or something. I mean, you know, and so now the next stage is space. Moonbase Alpha got the server of Corbett. And, you know, we just had SpaceX put up 60 Starlinks in one launch. Boom. So we have that going for us. There's that. So
that
we'll see what happens.
That's Elon Musk.
I'm sorry?
That's charlatan Elon Musk.
Well, you know, does he have like satellites I can? I don't even care. It's a proof of concept.
I know. Listened to your conversation with Eric Peters.
Oh, yeah. Did you listen to that?
Yeah. Your new best friend?
Yeah. Eric Peters writes on automotive issues, you know, uses automotive, you know, for trying to spread freedom. He's on Lou Rockwell a lot and so on. So I was looking forward to having him on. But, man, I knew one thing that was going to trigger him. He's all internal combustion muscle car of damn it.
Yeah.
And electric.
Yeah,
and
you took the right tack with that because when you questioned him about that and he says, well, it's just not feasible. Yeah, well, okay, they invent something new tomorrow and it's feasible. What then? It didn't seem principled.
I hear this all the time. It was, I tell you where it you know, I got prepped for that. Frosty Wooldridge, that never saw a brown person he didn't want to ship off somewhere. So he writes sometimes on Freedom's Phoenix, and I let him because he's, you know, at least sincere in whatever his opinion is. I don't care. But his thing is environmental. If we cannot take another person, it's all this population explosion, we're all going to die thing. And he's going, we don't have the water. We don't have the food. We don't have the arable land. I go, well, what happens when we do? You know, what if we increase food production a gabillion times? What if we do this? What if we do that? What if I garden? What if we get, you know, water from the... I mean, you're just giving me a number and I give you another number. What kind of crap is that? Give me a principle. You know, so when Eric Peters was doing the same thing, well, it's just, you know, they don't have enough mileage. I go, well, the new roadster is going to be 600 miles. Well, they don't charge fast enough. I go, they're getting down to where they're like, you know, minutes. You know, they got the new supercapacitor battery and blah, 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 blah. Then what happens when they do that? What? Well, they're electric. I mean, you know, so I was like, come on, man. Give me some better reasoning. And a lot of times, you know, I'm not like, you know, an Elon Musk worshiper because I know what's going on there. It's the same thing that happened with Steve Jobs at Apple. It was just this future that was promised. 1984 won't be like 1984 when they did the Macintosh. So these people bought into the dream. Well, I don't know. Elon's hitting a bunch of
PR. Steve Jobs delivered products
that
actually worked.
Well, Elon got rockets. I mean, you know, he's like making cars and, you know,
stuff. Didn't they just have a big explosion on the launch pad? That they tried to cover
they
up?
They were testing the Dragon retro blah, blah, right. And it blew it up of kind of whatever. I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to be first on. I'm not doing it. You know?
It's not going to be me in that seat.
Well, you know, Richard Branson, I think he may go. And then Elon was saying he may take the trip around the moon with that billionaire Japanese guy. So I'm going, yeah, whatever.
He's not a billionaire anymore. Right?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, you know, that was another thing. SpaceX, they had these contracts with NASA, I think. We're going to pick these top two, not SpaceX. So they picked Blue Origin and their consortium of, was it Lockheed and Boeing or ULA or whatever. And they picked those two. And he's like, they don't even have working rockets. We actually are doing it in space. We got Heavy here, and we got the new one coming. Well, what the hell is your reasoning? And they go, yeah, because we don't like you and screw you. So he's filing suit, and kind of hilarity ensues. So I'm just like, nothing's consistent. I don't even care. It's the genie's out of the bottle already. There's so much stuff coming, and one of the big things is going to be energy production. There is just so much stuff in battery technology, thorium, pre-reactors, you know, better batteries, better solar, blah, 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 blah. So I just can't imagine another decade's going to go by with a big, giant change in energy and all your friends of big oil. You know, I don't know what they're going to do then.
Well, they've been remarkably successful at suppressing that kind of stuff for the past century. So. Yeah. We'll see. Spectacular plane crashes or what have you.
Well, you know, right. You know, well, one of the things they've been, you know, very successful in suppressing this stuff, but it has been in the dark. Here comes the internet. Here comes the light. And then what happens? You know, you're banned. You're demonetized. You're not allowed to talk, speak, or have an opinion that anybody's going to see. So what do you think the future for Facebook? You just got your gut feeling. Is it going to be my grandma's on woo-woo or you know, it's got going to have a life or what?
Yeah. Realistically, I don't see it going away. I see regulation coming. And I think that there will be at least some sort of, you know, some pain to that from the bottom line dollar perspective. And there has to be, psychologically speaking, the public has to see, oh, these companies got it. You know, they got punched in the face. Yay. All right. But they will not collapse. And in fact, it will just further cement their monopolies.
Until it doesn't.
That's the way I see it playing out.
So. Until it doesn't. I mean, you know, you've been decentralized platforming your stuff and making it available on, and you got your own, which is what we do. You know, we have, you know, the only thing that we don't do, I don't, it's not because we can't, we don't store our own video because I do 3 hours a day. You know, it's like, you know, four. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of video. So now, yeah, where can I put it? Well, the IPFS thing. So that's the first time that we've actually done it where we've hosted it. And I'm going, yeah, I prefer to do that. We could put it up on our own site, but it is intensive and it takes up a lot of a lot of storage. But storage is getting cheap, man. I mean, it's getting to where, I mean, you can only, I mean, are you going to ever do 8K video? I mean, you know, how much memory do you need, man?
Yeah, exactly. Who wants to see my face in 8K?
The pores.
I guess I could go back and remaster some of my old documentaries in in 4K or something.
You know, this is another thing. They always say what's impossible. For probably 6 years in a row, I didn't go last year because it's getting boring, but I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas as a journalist. And because they don't have it open to the public. You got to be a journalist or industry or something like that. So I finagle my way in, and I get to go and cover and talk to the guys and whatever. And they had this one. It was probably 30, 40 feet high and about 60, 70, 80 feet long. And it had, South Korean, and there may have been a Japanese or Chinese, whatever. They were doing 8K. And you go up in this big, giant screen. And what's that one Chinese basketball player that's really tall, whatever his name is. So he was the picture up there. He's doing talking. And you go up to the screen, and you're looking for the pixels. And, I mean, man, it was tight. And it deep and rich. And they go, I don't know why they did that. They're never going to broadcast 8K. You know, this is not going to be, you know, broadcast. They're never going to put it to stream. Never. And then I'm already starting to see they're selling 8K televisions. And I'm going, I am so sick of hearing they're never, when they always do.
Yeah.
The tech is always going to get better and be there.
Oh, I saw a good debunk about that a couple of years ago, that when you start getting to 4K, 8K, it's getting to differences in detail that the human eye literally cannot detect. We are not capable of detecting the difference at a certain point.
It definitely was looking good, but you're right. It's kind of like with CDs. With CDs being digital instead of analog, it has so much data that's in there. If they try to copy it all, that's why MP3s, you can do 128K of MP3s or 128 bits or whatever it is. You get 128 is to the point to where your ear can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So you have a CD and you have an MP3 at 128, you can't tell the difference because our ears are only so sensitive. So I understand what you mean, brother, but... is that all the data that we accumulate is getting to a point where, you know, the storage is so much cheaper, we can do it ourselves. I'm like,
why not?
Cool.
Exactly. Now, I still think back when I'm uploading like a big video that's a couple hundred megs to my server. I still think back to the days when I had a 120 meg 356. Back in the day, that the entire hard drive was smaller than this video file. It's good to have that perspective to know, this is the way technology
progresses. I had a TRS Model 4 with a 5 meg hard drive, big freaking bread box it sat on, you know? 5 meg. 5. Woohoo! So I remember a guy in the mid 90s had a 2 gig, you know, towers that he's worked on. I got 2 gig, and we're like, oh my God. Now I'm like, are you freaking kidding? I got little thumbnail SD cards that, you know, are 32 gig, and they're paying me to haul them off. We're the future. I am not that dark on this stuff. When I see this stuff, because we are prepared and we did the IPFS, and I'm happy we got you all platformed and we're not worrying about it. And I encourage you, keep checking it. You know, it gets to where you're feeling stable and, you know, you're feeling good about it. Promote it. But I'm telling you, by promoting it, it goes faster.
Yeah. And I want Derek on to run us through step by step how people can set up their own node.
Well, I want them to do that too. That's what we're working on. Matter of fact, that's what Thomas is here for. Thomas, say hello to James. He's visiting.
Hello, James. How are you doing? Been a long time since we've spoken.
Yes, indeed. How long?
About 3 years, I think, since you interviewed me for the for the decentralization with the Ozarks Neighborly Exchange.
Right. I remember that. I was just referring to that in my How to Escape the Globalist System editorial.
Yep.
Score. Okay. Now, this is what Thomas did. You know, he's a listener and, you know, on the Telegram group of Declare Your Independent, blah, blah, blah. And he knew, and I see him at an Arcapoco. We see him at Nexus Earth. We see him at Jackalope. We see him, you're going to Porkfest this year, and he happened to be around here doing a thing in Sedona, so he come by for a couple of days, say, yo, what's up? Well, he's been helping Derek. What kind of script can you write, and it does what, Thomas? Say it.
I can grab everything off from YouTube.
There you go. See,
automate it.
So we're going, Luke, man, we need to take all your stuff off. We'll just go to the channel, but you better hurry up and do it now. So he has the scripting to bring that down, put IPFS, we're done. Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
You know, I know you got to get going. Anything else you want to give? Give out your sites and all the goodies you want to give out.
CorbettReport.com, but I do want to hear from Thomas how ONE is going these days.
It's had better days, to be honest with you, James. Our attendance has dropped down a lot of times for the summer and the springtime because a lot of people are out there working on their gardens. But, you know, it comes and goes, and we're kind of at a low point at the moment.
Well, just keep on going.
I will.
Yeah, no, it's good to have, you know, guys like Thomas that can do this kind of thing. Oh, you need a script to be able to pull, okay, done. And I'm like, he's my just button.
Yeah. Many hands, light work, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, you know, we get a lot of support. And I'll tell you, you know, it's so that we can help you. And the reason I want to help James Corbett and make sure this stuff is out there, because you've put the work in to this material that cannot go away. And these 20,000 DVDs, yeah, I can think of no one better. You tell me 1,000 here, God, ship, God will do. And we'll put in stuff. But, yeah, it can only be... You're starting to lose quality after 5 hours. We can compress 5 hours, but that's a lot of videos for you. But of course,
well, my vote is for how to herd your tax cattle, how to free your tax cattle. I think that's the best message for 2020.
Okay, can you send that to me? You know,
yep.
I'll go check your comment section, and we'll do, because I have my favorites. You know, the things that, you know, really, and guess what? Because going to get included.
You got the 911 5-minute video that's got to go on there. That is fantastic stuff. It's not only informative, but it's also entertaining. It's very well done, James.
Yeah, no, all this stuff. But I got my, you know, guess what's going to go on is whatever freak I want. I guarantee that. You know, but you know, it's James. I mean, what do you care? Hey, the Corbett Report. .com and all this stuff that you hear, all the deplatforming, all the negative kind of, they're going to control, and it's going into the battle of and collectivism versus the centralized, you know, versus the independence of the individual, the sovereign, decentral, whatever the hell, and that, it never stops. And, you know, fortunately, a lot of us out here understand it, and they want to make sure that you don't even know about it. And we already did it, okay? So, nah. You know, and James Corbett, because we knew this would be such a good example. IPFS, if you go to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, you go to the show in there, at the top of each show, you'll see the IPFS addresses, all of Corbett's, PiratesWithoutBorders.com and FreedomsPhoenix.com. And if you know, James gets enamored with its performance here directly, he'll go ahead and put it up. And you guys, the more you start to search, certainly James Corbett stuff, the faster it goes. Here we go. Thanks, James. I appreciate you coming on and explaining this, you know, all the news of the day for us and all the stuff that's going on. And it's just a pleasure to spend time with you, and I feel better. You just keep doing what you're doing, man, and we'll keep promoting.
I will, and I appreciate you saving the Corbett Report forever.
Ever.
Thank you for that.
Never. James Corbett. Peace, brother. Thank you.
Take care.